Of course, the reason for which we need to know whether the documentation is perfect is that if there's anything imperfect about the documentation, it's up to you to fix it. All right, what I want to talk about today is migrations, a little bit of background of who I am, which is what I want to know as well. I'm an early Samba team member. I maintain documentation and I do a lot of quality assurance testing. I'm the Chief Technical Officer of Prima Stasis Incorporated. We're a three-man company at this time. And we do business process consulting. I'd just like to qualify that business process consulting is very different from doing open source consulting. It's different because it allows me to get in at the executive level in companies and to discuss with them their entire IT plans and their business plans, and gives me the perfect cover for introducing open source as a way of helping the business to meet its objectives rather than talking about open source as an alternative for proprietary technology. I'd like you to think about that. It's a very different approach that we use. It's very much more subtle. Let's move on. I'm going to talk about three sites, three companies that I was involved in helping to migrate or starting the process in the last year. I want to talk about some of the things learned, and above all, I'm going to amplify that every one of those cases resulted in new knowledge gained that has been captured into the documentation. And if you want to know where this presentation is driving, my objective is to inform you of some of the real-world issues. So this talk is political and somewhat technical. The first company is a large accounting company with over 1,100 locations around the world, far more than 20,000 users. I can't tell you how many there are. I can't tell you publicly who the company is. They're fully dependent on Microsoft Windows Active Directory, and they wanted to migrate completely off Microsoft for their business back end. I was brought in to help a project manager who had been appointed for the task. Unfortunately, we discovered very soon into the project that it was impossible to move off Active Directory because they'd purchased a number of applications that require it. So the challenge was to find a solution. The candidates for migration were the web servers, file and print, web proxy, DNS and DHCP. Not capable of migration were Active Directory, the applications that depend on it, or the desktop. The desktop, it will not be considered for migration for another year. The project manager set the requirements that whatever solution we put in place had to be easy to install and configure. We had to produce standard operating guidelines for all operations. The solution must be capable of being centrally managed, must be capable of using Microsoft Management Console tools, if at all possible, because command line introducing the existing network management team to a Linux command line was considered not an option. Now, in order to roll this out with 1,100 odd server locations, it was essential that we have unified UID, GID behavior for every Windows user that has an account in Active Directory. How many of you have considered that a problem in your sites? Just one or two. If they are going to replace servers and copy files between offices, I'm sure you can understand that if we have inconsistent UIDs and GIDs, which is what results with the standard Samba WinBind configuration with an Active Directory backend, that presents serious problems. Fortunately, we had IDMAP underbar RID come to the rescue there. They could not afford to take all their staff out for retraining, and the cost reduction had to be significant. We looked at this in detail. The solutions we evaluated were, first of all, Samba had to integrate seamlessly into Active Directory. WinBinder alone is not an option. ID map in LDAP was evaluated. We put together a test lab. And what we discovered is that, let's assume that what we have here is a central office located somewhere in a place called, a hypothetical place called Camelot, okay? And everywhere else we have these offices. Camelot controls DHCP, DNS, has the main Active Directory server, and has the LDAP, has the main LDAP server. So going into each of the remote branches in places like Outer Mongolia and Inner Sanctum, wherever that may be, I haven't found that place yet, but some people believe it exists. There, in each of those offices, we were going to have an Active Directory server for that particular location and a Samba file and print server. And that Samba file and print server would also have a slave LDAP server to store the ID mapping information. Now, let's assume that the administrator in that office adds a user to the Active Directory environment. Make sense so far? You got the picture in your head? Now that user goes to access the Samba file server, what happens? We're using the ID map backend equals a local slave LDAP server. Does this work? Nada. This does not work. The ID map backend must speak directly to a writable master LDAP server, or else this breaks. And that gave us a problem of maintaining currency of the ID map cache on each machine. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So in a simple lab evaluation, that whole model just completely disintegrates. It can happen so long as everything is PDC focused and the PDC is maintaining the cache and you don't have BDCs. So in the Samba configuration using the ID map backend in an LDAP server, that really doesn't scale well and could not be done. So someone came up with the bright idea to use the Microsoft Services for Unix schema extension in Active Directory so that the UIDs and GIDs would be maintained there. Do you have any idea how thick the standard operating guide is for this company? It meant retraining every one of their Windows administrators and rewriting a book that is literally that thick. So that, by definition, fell outside of the scope for the project. Additionally, it would create a lingering dependency on Active Directory, which is the very thing the company wants to get off. So the use of Microsoft Services for Unix was considered too complex to manage. Eventually, we decided to evaluate the WinBind ID map under bar RID facility, and we have chosen that as the solution, but we have not yet load tested it. And the reason for which I specify that is we are not talking about just a few users. We are talking about many tens of thousands of users. Oh, dear. Many tens of thousands of users in the ID map RID backend. And the problem that we already found with that is that if we enable the WinBind enum users and WinBind enum groups, we will never, ever be able to move on because it takes too long to enumerate that. So we had to turn that off, and all of this is in fact has in all of the configurations that we used and evaluated have been added to the Samba how-to collection chapter on ID map. So if you want to see where all of this, all the technical stuff, has already been documented, what we discovered is that even when we turn that off, We have reasons for concern over the overall scalability of that solution. So our forward plan is to run a laboratory test network to prove the integrity of the WinBind ID map solution with tens of thousands of users accessing the same file server over a random period with up to 500 users accessing a server at any particular time.
Can you tell me what sense does it make to get rid of Active Directory if I'm not able to get rid of it?
They are locked in, but they have a three-year plan to succeed all software, to replace all software. So 3 years from the day that they implement this new the new server solution, they will reevaluate Active Directory. So they're giving themselves 3 years to deal with a more difficult question. The problem that we are dealing with here is that the software vendors in question, the software vendor for the voice over IP technology, is unwilling to port to Linux at this time. I have some opinions on that, but I don't want to go into that here today. The pilot project will be implemented for a 300-user office, and if that works correctly, then there will be a global rollout. Now, a little obstacle was hit. At the beginning of March, when all of this work, the forward plans were to be commenced as phase two of the project, the project manager was hired away by a competitor, and we're now waiting for a replacement project manager to come up to speed to continue this work. So I just want to make you aware of the real world that in which projects sometimes stumble. The second company I looked at migrating was a health services business in Indiana. It's a complex of three hospitals. They have 4,200 user accounts, about 1,800 PCs. We know exactly how many. I'm just using roundabout numbers here. The desktop clients run a mixture of NT4, 2000 Pro, and XP Pro. They run a Windows NT4 single domain architecture spread across the three sites. They have underpowered BDCs in each location, but don't let them hear that I said that. Already have had several successful SAMBA 3 domain member servers that hold pretty well all of their data. And I need to stress that some of the most critical data are NMT images, X-ray images, and NRMI images. And they have a software application that currently runs with the NT4 domain architecture. One of the questions we looked at, they wanted to eliminate NT4. I'll come back to that. They did not. They wanted a non-disruptive migration. In other words, they wanted to be able to migrate, turn off the NT4 domain controllers, switch on the SAMBA 3 domain controllers, and just keep working. That was the objective. Some of the workstations are in sterile environments, and it takes an awful lot of fussing and messing with a computer to get it so that it is suitable for location in a sterile environment. So rejoining the domain is not a terribly exciting proposition. Replacing the machine is not an exciting proposition. The IT staff had to be trained. In fact, I went to the site to run a four-day SAMBA training class, which I have been running around the globe, and to use one day to perform a trial migration to demonstrate that it could actually be done. I'd like to report that went off flawlessly in the end. The test migration was completely successful. By the way, it took about 4 hours to migrate 4,300 user accounts and 1,800 machine accounts. It took quite a long time to do that migration to an open LDAP backend. However, on the very last day, just after we had demonstrated a successful migration, the X-ray and tomography company's representative finally called on the site, walked in with a big smile on his face to tell us he was ready for the migration today. And they said, yeah, we're already looking at a migration. Yes, he said, we're ready to install Microsoft Active Directory and then we can install the new version of our software. You got that? Ready to install Active Directory. And they were going to do that at their expense. The hospital didn't have to pay the cost of Active Directory. Isn't that nice? So we made one of those on-the-spot decisions to give them what they wanted. So instead of migrating to Samba 3, a decision was made to create a whole new Samba 3 domain, progressively move all the users across to the new domain, then with no users on the NT4 domain, give it to the X-ray company to allow them to do their upgrade to Active Directory. I thought you'd like that. And then we would use interdomain trusts to allow all of the users to go from the Samba control domain into the Active Directory domain. Meanwhile, of course, the X-ray and tomography software company was going to be told that if they did not port to Linux, they would be obsoleting themselves in a fairly short period of time. Mind you, that was tongue-in-cheek because there's no alternative to that software at this time. So it's kind of a catch-22. But by doing that, you see, the company was hoping to avoid licensing costs. Now, we found bugs in... the organization wanted to use the Windows NT4 domain user manager to manage all trusts and all interdomain relationships and so forth, and we found that the user manager could not be used. We've just recently confirmed that there are 6 function calls that are missing, and Jerry Carter will be adding those function calls to the next release of Samba 3 so that the NT4 domain user manager can be used fully for user group and interdomain trust management. We will not be able to use the NT4 domain user manager for user rights and privileges management off an XP platform because it would appear that some of the RPC calls on the XP platform are very different from what you get if you run the NT4 domain user manager on an NT4 server. So we're in one of those situations, and the right solution in the long run is for us to come up with our own tool that simplifies that, hopefully with a web-based interface or something like that. So that's basically the end of that. The second solution. The third one, how are we going for time? We're okay? The third one is a trucking company. I'm not allowed to tell you that it's Arnold Transportation Services. They have 3,500 trucks, maybe more. I can't tell you the exact number. They have 5 branch offices, 3 of which are on a wide area network. They're 480 PCs. They're not what you call a huge enterprise site. But to them, business is business. They've had a mix of Windows 9X, NT4, 2000 Pro and XP Pro machines, mixed Active Directory and NT4 domains, and they just wanted to get to unify their technology and to make the whole system more manageable. And above all, they wanted to reduce costs by 80%. The findings were they'd prepaid their Microsoft services. Why are you laughing? This isn't funny. Clearly, an 80% saving cannot be achieved when software assurance has already been prepaid. We met with management and asked them to consider running the business with just close your eyes, pretend you're a trucking company. Of course, they said we are. We said, just pretend. We said, okay, now you have 3,500 trucks that can only operate on a very special fuel that can only be purchased from one gasoline station located in Atlanta, Georgia. And everyone said, you can't do that. So we announced, well, sorry guys, that's exactly what we're doing with IT. And they said, change it. We put in Samba 3 PDC with three BDCs with an LDAP back end. It's run flawlessly. There was no downtime. It was also an opportunity to install Windows XP on every desktop. So what we're getting is the same desktop for everything, totally locked down solution. All the dial-in networking services are all authenticated out of Samba. So all of the, you know, the Munge dial string stuff, we know it works beautifully. They're using Radius technology coupled to Samba authentication. The obstacles that we met, however, are that the domain group GID and RID stuff overlapped with UIDs and RIDs due to a glitch during the Idealix SMB LDAP tools upgrade. We do not know how it happened. We've tried to reproduce it because our people on site were paranoid. We lost about 3 hours downtime last week. And we tried to reproduce how this problem may have occurred. We don't know. We had to rectify it. We rectified it by dumping the LDAP database, manually editing the database and putting everything back, and then validating that the latest generation of the SMB LDAP tools, for which I've produced some patches that will go to Idealix in the next 24 hours, that they work, and we're happy that it's working, so they're off and away. The other problem that they found was with the domain user manager, which turned out to be a problem with the SMB LDAP tools. I just want to clearly clarify that the callouts to the scripts, that's the add user script, the add group script, and so forth, please configure them only to add the POSIX account component. Do not put on the command lines to those switches anything to implement any form of Windows, that's the Samba SAM account, or the Windows group edition. Don't do that. Use the scripts as a dumb script to add nothing other than the POSIX account. That way it'll work perfectly. What was happening is they were calling the script so as to add all of the Windows group credentials rather than doing that through Samba. And the result of with the latest version that's 0.87 and later, you need to specify to the add group and the group modify functions, that's the SMB LDAP group mod, you need to specify the domain, the group type as minus T space domain. If you don't do that, the script will fail and you will get very weird error messages in the NT4 domain user manager. The other problem we discovered was GQ crashing on the /9 servers. By the way, they started off using Red Hat Enterprise Linux Server 4, 3 and then 4, and gave up because they had to do too much work. They found that using /9 saves them many, many hours of effort and gives them, for their perspective, a more deployable solution. All three customers, all three migration sites, expressed the need to feel comfortable with the migration. All want to play with Samba until they feel comfortable. They all made major mistakes while learning to implement Samba. All received documented procedures. Those procedures that I gave them also went into the Samba 3 by example, that's the Samba guidebook. It demonstrated that procedural guidance in documentation must more strongly anticipate common errors, typographical errors, and assumptions that people make. Now, out of this, the message that I've taken out of it is that the documentation that we create for the Samba project In any area where we create procedural guidance, we must create validation steps. That validation step must assume that whoever is following the procedure can't read and does not have what the Americans call a grade 8-point average of intelligence. In other words, they cannot fill in any form without making at least a dozen errors. And only when the documentation, if somewhat followed, forces the person who is following it to go through a validation step process that causes them to prove to their own satisfaction that it actually, that what the step that they've followed actually has worked, only then can you move on. And I've been trying to build that sort of intelligence into the documentation, and that is the radical new imposition on the Samba 3 by example, or the Samba guide book, that will be in print by about August. The Samba 3 how-to and reference guide will also be reprinted as a second edition book also at the same time. The two books are going to be released completely together, not one after the other this time. The reason is that we need to help people to understand that the Samba How-To and Reference Guide book is a book that tells you how to repair the engine. It tells you how to build the automatic transmission. It tells you where to find the tools to replace a flat tire. Samba 3, by example, has no such objective. Samba 3, by example, is designed to teach you how to drive the car. Do you understand the difference I'm qualifying there? The two books go together, the driving manual and the repair manual. I did not have that clear differentiation when I started to write the how-to, or to convert what was the how-to collection into the book. That came out of review feedback for that book, that the examples weren't good enough. The chapter, Fast Start, was considered not good enough. And for that reason, I did a lot of research. I did about a month and a half of research. I spoke with a lot of administrators who gave me feedback. That's Windows Network administrators who know nothing about Unix and Linux, who frankly are frightened and sensitized by all the talk about Linux. I listened to their story, and Samba 3, by example, is designed to get around their fears. But it's also designed to help a Unix administrator. The documentation has grown. Now, once upon a time, Linux people delighted in complaining about the bloatware factor in Windows applications, but we've proven that we can do it as well. And it seems that my... we're back again. The page count has grown quite a bit. The Samba 3, by example, book has grown by a little over 100 pages. It's been restructured. There are a lot of revisions through all of the chapters that were there. What was Chapter 6 is now Chapter 5. I'd listened to the feedback that I was given that the what was Chapter 1, the diagnostic chapter, should go into the appendix. It's now in the appendix. I believe the feedback I was given from people like you is completely wrong, but if it causes you to buy the book, you are absolutely right. I have added a chapter on updating and upgrading. Upgrading is going from an earlier version to the current version. Updating is within the current version. That's my definition. I've given detailed guidance and instructions to help people to avoid the common problems that have been reported on the mailing list. And I might add, A lot of those reports have come from Germany over the last 6 months. It's been marvelous. The feedback has been good. I'd like to state that good documentation is only possible as a community effort. No single person has the expertise and experience necessary to write truly effective documentation. So please keep your feedback coming. The documentation is not perfect. I agree, if you have been caused pain by following the documentation, then the documentation is wrong. No other answer for it. Do I take that personally? Yeah, sure I do. I take it very personally. I want it fixed. Am I offended when someone says the documentation is wrong? You better believe it. If you do not give me a fix, I'm offended. Not because I'm embarrassed, but because you haven't done your job. Criticism is valid only in the form of correction. Not by bad words, not by anger on your part or mine. The only acceptable way to criticize something that's wrong is to help to fix it. If you're not willing to help fix it, then shut up and go away. And lastly, I want to start SAMBA 4 documentation. I was hoping to do that in March, but I had not planned to do a full overhaul and reprint of the current books. Given that SAMBA 4 is probably a year and a half to 2 years away from being fully commercially usable as the replacement for SAMBA 3, we need a stopgap, and that's why the documentation is being continued. We're continuing to work on that. But this release of the documentation will be, I believe, the last printing there won't be yet a third edition or so of the SAMBA 3 documentation. We will start in earnest on the SAMBA 4 documentation, and I would welcome any opinions, any recommendations or suggestions that you have for inclusion in the next generation of the documentation. We're starting today, after this conference is finished, to define the documentation goals and objectives. The time for your input is in the next week or two. My call for a workshop session has been heeded. We are having that later today. Folks, I'd like to thank you for listening. More importantly, I'd like to thank you for your contribution to the migration experience that I've had and that others have had, and to your help in fixing the documentation. You've done a marvelous job in helping to make SAMBA what it is today. And I'm open to questions.
Is there any question? Thanks for your very, very funny talk. As I promised you, we will have a good time. I had at least. I guess you had too. Is there any question? No, then see you in 20 minutes.